I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 13. My subject tonight, show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. You are marked by the company that you keep. The Bible says, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, let's look at 2 Samuel 13 and 1. I want to pull my story from this. It says, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fast sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed, he was so distressed that he fell sick, or he was lovesick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard to do anything to her, but Amnon had a friend. Say that with me. But Amnon had a friend. I want to talk to you tonight about show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Let us pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the praise and worship. Thank you for the youth, Lord, and their involvement in kingdom work. I pray now, Lord, that you will speak to every heart under the sound of my voice, those watching by live stream, Facebook Live, and those here, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you will make an impartation to these youth tonight, and, Lord, that they will make a decision at a young age to follow Jesus and to allow him to be Lord of their life. Help us all to grow in grace and knowledge. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. Amnon had a friend named Jonadab. And Jonadab found out that Amnon was in love with his half-sister, Tamar. Tamar was a beautiful girl. She was a young virgin. She was the sister of Absalom, and she was Amnon's half-brother. Absalom, rather, was Amnon's half-brother. There's five characters in this story, but Tamar, she was beautiful. And so Amnon, he had a personal problem that he was dealing with. He had a half-sister that he was attracted to. Back in Bible days, King David could have allowed them to marry. So he was in love with his half-sister Tamar. He had no way to talk to her. He was too embarrassed to court her because that was improper for him to do something like that. Amnon was tormented by this thing. He wanted her, but he knew it was improper. He knew that his thoughts were wrong. He knew that his thoughts were sinful toward this young virgin girl. He knew the law of God. He knew the word of God. Verse 2 says, it was hard for him to do anything to her. He would never have touched her on his own. But Amnon, say it with me, had a friend. What was it that kept Amnon from sinning and doing this terrible thing that he ends up doing? First of all, Amnon had a reputation. Amnon had a reputation. He was a king's son. He was favored. He had all the silver, all the gold, and all the riches that a young man could ever want. He was royalty. He was a prince. And when Amnon considered his reputation, it kept him from sinning. Help me now. But Amnon had a friend. Secondly, Amnon was an educated man. He knew the law. He knew the word of God. He was an educated man. His own father, David, had penned these words. Look at this, Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So Amnon had been versed in the scriptures. Look at Psalms 119 and 11. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So Amnon was educated in God's word. He had been taught the word of God, and that kept him from sinning. And because he knew the word of God, it was hard for him to do anything to this young virgin girl named Tamar. But Amnon had a friend. All right. Thirdly, Amnon had a conscience. He had never done anything like this before. He was not the type of person to do a sinful thing. His conscience stopped him. He had a conscience that it had prevented him from sinning in the past. His conscience would have stopped him this time also, but Amnon had a friend. And because of the influence of Amnon's friend, he raped his own sister. He brought shame upon her. He brought shame upon the family. He brought shame upon himself. He brought shame upon his sister. He brought shame upon the whole family. Now listen to me carefully, young people. The decisions that we make in life, they do affect other people. They don't just affect you, they affect other people. You just heard a powerful testimony about that. I've had young people tell me, it's my body, and I'll do as I please. It's nobody else's business what I do with my body. But that's not true, because the decisions that we make, they do affect other people. Our nation has aborted, I checked this figure recently, over 70 million human babies. Look at what's going on in New York. If people ever needed the church, if people ever needed godly instructions, if they ever needed someone to show them the way in this sinful world that we live in today, people need the church. Amen. Our nation has aborted over think of that, 70 million babies. And in New York, they just changed the law to where right up to conception, they can kill a baby. I'm a combat veteran. I could not kill a little baby the way they're doing today. We've become a nation of heathens. That is not godliness. And we don't need lawmakers like that. We need to vote them out of office, and we need to get some people in that have some godly values, because this nation was founded upon godly values. And the decisions that we make, it affects so many people. But these 70 million little babies, they were unwanted. They were unexpected pregnancies. Young lady, listen. Listen to the preacher. When a young man tells you, I love you, if he's trying to get you to have sex with him before marriage, he is lying. He does not love you. He has lust for you. And that's a big difference. See, God has sanctioned sex. To have sexual feelings for the opposite sex is just a natural thing for young people, because when you come to a certain age, you start having those feelings. God has sanctioned sex, but he has not sanctioned sex outside of the marriage bed. He instituted marriage, and the only place for sex and the only place for true love is when you get married. Look at Hebrews 13 and 4. It says, marriage is honorable in all. Hebrews 13 and 4. Look at it. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Make no mistake about it. Sex outside of marriage, it is sin. It is sin for everybody. And sin has a payday. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap that. Whatever, if we sow to the wind, we're going to reap a whirlwind. That's a law. There's no way that you can escape that law. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you will reap life everlasting. If you sow a tomato, you'll get a tomato. If you sow an apple seed, it'll be an apple every time. God never gets mixed up with what is in a seed. So sow good seed. Make sure that everything that you do in life, you come to church, you're in a good church, you're in a place where the Word of God is taught, make sure you order your life after the Word of God. Because if you listen to your friends that are ungodly, you will be like Amnon. Amnon had a friend, and that friend did not lead him in the right direction. Sex outside the bonds of marriage, it is sin. It is sin for everybody. But it's not an unpardonable sin. And God, in his mercy, he does forgive sin. But it's not the young man who gets pregnant. Young ladies, listen to me. It's the young woman, the young lady. And They are the ones who have to deal with unexpected pregnancy. It's tough when you have to face the issues of life alone. It's a hard road. But that's why we have a place called Royal Homes in the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. It's not because we endorse sex outside of marriage. It's because we want to minister to those who have fallen victim to unplanned pregnancies. We don't turn our backs on people because they sin. God doesn't turn his back upon us when we sin. God is a merciful God. He has laws, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, it cleanses from all sin. But I want you to listen to the testimony of one of the young girls that was at the Royal Home. And I quote her. She said, "No one will ever know how I felt when I learned I was pregnant. My little world fell down around me, and I thought about what everyone, especially my family, would think of me. Would they ever be able to forgive me for what I had done? Or more importantly, would I ever be able to forgive myself? I really needed someone to comfort me. I really needed a place to go. I could not stay at home. That was out of the question. I heard about the Royal Home through a family. I made an inquiry, went for an interview. The good, caring folks at the home gave me answers to every question. After a while, I just knew that that was the place for me. I spent almost 5 months at the Royal Home. I was given the best of care, and I had a beautiful baby girl. My decision to give my baby life is a decision I will never regret. Besides having my baby, I learned a lot about myself. I was able to continue my education while there, and most importantly, I found peace with God." God is a good God. And I want to tell you, if you've made a mistake, go to God and ask God to forgive you, because he has arms of mercy, and he opens those arms to anyone that comes to him. He loves you. He cares for you. He will forgive you, and he will give you instructions on how to live a godly life. The Bible is a book about correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness, so you'll know exactly how to live your life. Every time God says, "Thou shalt not," that's not God wanting to keep all the fun from you. That's God's way of saying, "Don't hurt yourself." And every time God says, "Do this," that's God's way of saying, "Help yourself." See, God has given us instructions so we'll know how to live our lives. And their decisions and their friends and their people, that they will give you ungodly advice, and it can affect the rest of your life. The decisions that we make, they do affect other people. Point number four, let's consider the result of Amnon's friend, of his sin, rather. We know Amnon had a friend. His friend told him to go on and do this terrible thing. And so let's look at the results of Amnon's sin. First of all, that was the result that it had on Tamar. 2 Samuel 13:20. Look at this. "So Tamar remained desolate." In other words, she was broken. She was devastated. She was marred for the rest of her life. "So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house." She never fell in love. She never married. She was from a good family. King David was her daddy. Think about that. A godly home. She was so emotionally scarred, however, that it affected her for the rest of her life. Her life was ruined. This was not supposed to happen to this young lady. She was royalty. But Amnon had a friend. What were the results of Amnon's sin on Absalom? See, it also had a result on Absalom, his half-brother. Absalom was Tamar's brother. Absalom was destined to be the king of Israel. Absalom was a wise judge. He had served under his father, King David, as a judge. But Absalom, he burned with hate toward his brother Amnon because of the sin that Amnon committed against Tamar. So Absalom, he devised the plan to get rid, to get revenge. He had a party. He threw a big party and he invited his half brother Amnon. And while they were at this party, you just heard what Dalton is going through as a police officer. This story right here is about 4,000 plus years old, but it sounds like the morning newspaper. He threw the party, and while at the party, he had Amnon killed. And because he did that, this man that was destined to be a king, he had to flee for his own life. From then on, Absalom, who was destined to be a king, he was now a rebel, fleeing and running for his life. Absalom was destined for much, much better things than that. But Amnon had a friend. Number five, I want to ask you, what kind of friends do you have? Evaluate your own life tonight. What kind of friends do you have? What type of company do you keep? What type of influence do they have upon you that's negative? And what type of influence do you have upon them that's positive? You know, I thought about Jesus. Jesus, he's the friend of the sinner. And I thought about Peter. Peter's walking on the water. He's got his eyes on Jesus, just like we walk through life. He's got his eyes on Jesus. But all of a sudden, he looked at the waves and he looked at everything around him. And he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. Well, Jesus did not get down. And I've always been for the underdog, so I've always tried to help hurting people, but you cannot get down in the dirt with people that are hurting, that are down in the dirt, and save them. Jesus didn't get down in the water. Peter said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus stood on top of the water, reached out a helping hand to him, and lifted him up. So don't let your friends get you down where they are. Stay on top of the situation. Walk your life according to the word of God. Live your life the way the Bible says live, and then you'll be able to help friends. I've got children that they're for the underdog, and I used to tell them, I said, you can help people like that, but don't get down there. You have to stay on top like Jesus did so you can give people a lift. And that's why you need a good church. You need good role models. You need, if you don't have that in your family, then come to church. Come here. We've got some people that can help you, some people that can be a good role model for you, because if you'll show me your friends, I'll show you your future. What kind of friends do you have? Look at Proverbs 13 and 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Show me your friends. I promise you something. I'll show you your future. Look at Amos 3 and 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two people walk together? Can you associate with someone except you be in agreement? See, you cannot walk together with people and not agree with them. But if you agree with people, you will become just like them. Show me your friends, I'll show you the direction your life is headed in. Show me your friends, I'll show you the type of habits that you will have in life. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. There's an old saying, some of you may not have heard it, but birds of a feather flock together. Say it with me. Birds of a feather flock together. Troublemakers, they flock with troublemakers. Losers run with losers. Drug dealers run with drug dealers. Amen. Winners run with winners. So I've got some good advice for young people, and you need to listen to wise counsel. Find somebody that has been successful in life. Find somebody that has achieved something in life, and then set your course to achieve something in life. You are a sum total right now of the decisions that you have made in life. What type of education do you need to do what it is that you have a dream to do? Do you want to be a journeyman? Then you'll have to go. If you just want to be a mechanic, you'll have to go and get some schooling there. Dalton wanted to be a police officer, and he went through the educational process. Commander Phillips and I and his family, we were there when he graduated. It was a happy day for him. He scored way up in his class, but he set his goal to do something. And he told me, he said, that sermon you preached, show me your friends, I'll show you a future. He said, that affected me. And he began to evaluate his friends, and he began to make some quality decisions so he could have a future. He told you about the story of the young boy had the same age, born on the same day, and same month, same day, and everything. And he made some decisions. That young boy is dead. He never lived his life out. And now Dalton, he has a chance, an opportunity to live his life out, to fulfill the course, and to make a difference in life. And he's making a difference there in Greenville, North Carolina. But get yourself a friend who wants to accomplish something in life and associate yourself with that type of person. It's hard to fly with the eagles if you flock with turkeys. Amen. Stay away from the drug dealers. Stay away from the party crowd. Stay away from pornographic literature. Stay away from violence. If you don't stay away from things like that, that is what you will become. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. Amen. Now, I have three children, and I have always made it my business to know something about my children and where they are. Sometimes you can be deceived, but ultimately the truth will come out. I've had people tell me, I don't know what's wrong with my child. They have such a rotten attitude. Well, I can tell you exactly what's wrong with them. It's the company they keep. It's the friends that they associate with. See, a parent can love a child. They can give them a Christian education. They can feed them. They can dress them. They can give them a good home. And then that child will say something like, you don't have any right to tell me the friends I can choose. That's a Greek word for that. It's called baloney. If you feed them, if they eat your food, if they sit at your table, if you clothe them, if they use your toothpaste, if they use your toilet paper, if they drive your car, you have a right and you have a responsibility to know where your children are. Parents, God gave us that responsibility. And so you need to know where your children are. My son texts me this evening. I talk to him on the phone. I talk to my daughter Jessica that's up in the mountains. I talk to my daughter Jennifer in here tonight. I want to know where my children are, because now I got grandchildren. And every one of them has blessed me with two grandchildren. But I want to know where my children are. I want to know how their health is. I want to know how my grandchildren are doing. Little Sophie, she's had the flu, and she's getting better. But Anna Lee called me. She was up there in the mountains, and she said, I want to call Grand Jerry. She said, Grand Jerry, pray for me. Said, I've got the flu. And so her daddy had the flu, and she had the flu. And I prayed for her. And that little girl got up the next morning. She said, Jesus, heal me. Her daddy was still sick. I want to know where my children are. They are mine. They're my seed. And I can pray those prayers. And guess what, parents? You are the priest of your home, and you can pray prayers in that family that no one else can pray, because God has ordained it that way. Amen. You know, sometimes a friend can give some poor advice. Think about Jonadab now. Jonadab, he was older than Amnon. He was a mature man. It would have seemed that Jonadab would have given good, godly advice to Amnon. But Jonadab was not interested in helping this young boy stay pure. He wasn't interested in helping him succeed in life. He wasn't interested in helping him at all. And so Jonadab advised Amnon to sin and to bring this shame of raping his sister Tamar upon the entire family. Sometimes mature friends can give immature advice. The decisions that you make and the friends you keep, they will not only affect you in your youth, but they affect us as we get older and the decisions that we make. I heard this story from one of my preacher friends. He told about a woman who came to his office, and she was so pleased with the progress that her son was making. She was happy about the influence that the church was having on this young man. And then she said, "I'm so worried about what's going to happen to him when I leave." And the preacher said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I'm going to leave my husband. I just don't love him anymore." The preacher said, "Please don't leave." And he gave us some good godly counsel. And she said, "You don't understand. I have a friend." The preacher said, "I understand your marriage vows. I understand God's word concerning marriage. I understand that divorce is sin. I understand the effect that a divorce will have on your family." And she said, "I have a friend who has been helping me." The preacher said, "I had the word of God," and she had a friend. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I had a lady call me a few years ago, and she told me that her daughter was living with someone at a wedlock. And she had two teenage daughters, and she said, "This is affecting my teenage daughters." And she said, "She doesn't see anything wrong with what she's doing." Well, see, if you look at our culture endorses it. But the Bible calls it what it is. It's sin. And I gave her the word of God. I said, "Write these scriptures down." And she, the mother, gave these scriptures to her daughter. And the daughter said, "Well, I don't see it that way." She was living with a guy out of wedlock. She had an opinion, and I told her mother, I said, "She has an opinion. She doesn't think it's sin, but I gave her the word of God, and the word of God calls it sin." So this is the book right here you'll have to order your life after. You cannot look at our culture, young people. You cannot look at what your friends are doing. You will have to look at what the word of God says, because your future is on fire if you violate God's word. It's your future. It's your life, and it's your life that you have to make proper decisions. And if you make a wrong decision, God will forgive you. But it's like me going over and taking a chain and a ball and just beating that door all to pieces and just beating it and beating it and beating it. And then I go back and I just take and I fill it in, and then it's got scars all over it. God, that's the way life is. I had a place that got wet recently. And I've been in that, and I worked on that thing twice. And I worked last night, and I worked trying to fix that. And I got it to where it looks pretty good. And I told Teresa, I said, "Come look at that." But you know, if you look real close, you can still see the scars. You can still see, even though I've worked hard, and I'm not satisfied with it yet. I said, if I had the proper tool, I believe I could fix it. But you know how I'm really going to fix that thing? I'm going to have to take it out. And I'm going to have to replace it, because it's marred and it's scarred. And that's the way your life will be. God will forgive you, because God is a loving God. But, you know, the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. It's just much better to obey God and then let God order your steps. God is a good God. Amen. Several years ago, I was on the criminal jury here in Wilson, and a case came up before us, and it was three young boys. They had been arrested for robbing a restaurant. And one of these three boys, he had some good character witnesses. His preacher was there. His school teacher was there. He even had his school principal come into that courtroom. His neighbors in the community, they came and they testified of what a good boy this young man was. But he got mixed up with some other young boys that had a criminal record. And they had some alcohol and some liquor. This young boy had never drunk anything in his life like that, never done anything like this. And so they convinced him to drink the whiskey with them. Well, he passed out. And when he passed out, these other two boys, they robbed a restaurant at gunpoint. They were all caught. All three of them were put in jail. And when the judge gave his final sentence, all three of these young men, even the young man that had never done anything like this, I was sitting right there. He said 20 years. All three of them got 20 years. Do you want 20 years taken out of your life? I certainly don't want it taken out of my life. But show me your friends, I'll show you your future. We all need friends. Amen. We need friends who will encourage us to do right. We need friends who will pray for us. We need friends who will remind us of what the Bible says and how we're supposed to live our life as we walk down the road of life. We need friends who are good, godly Christians, and we need to surround ourselves with friends like that. None of us are perfect. Young people are trying to find the way through the maze of life, but you need some good, godly direction. Your parents love you, but you need friends, and you need people around you that love you. That's why we need the church. That's why we need fellowship of people of like precious faith. That's why we need to share the love of Jesus with other people. You know, I thought about Andrew, one of the Lord's disciples. He was a real friend. He brought his brother Peter to Jesus. He said, "Peter, I have found the Messiah." And he introduced Peter, this hot-headed man, this man that had a hard time even after he met Jesus. He introduced him to Jesus, and Jesus transformed that man's life. I thought about Matthew, the tax collector. He was a real friend to the other tax collectors. He threw a party, and he invited all of the tax collectors to come to his party. He also invited Jesus, and Matthew introduced all of his friends to Jesus. A real friend, let me tell you about a real friend. A real friend will point you in the right direction, young people. A real friend will help you to avoid the pitfalls of life. A real friend will give you godly counsel. Teenagers, I want to encourage you, listen to your parents. Listen to your parents because no matter what you think, they love you. I know when I was a teenager, I thought I had all the answers, and most of us do. But that's why my children used to ask me, said, "Daddy, why do I have to do that?" I said, "Because I said so." I said, "Because that's why God made daddies first." I got a card from my daughter, Jessica, on a Pastor Appreciation Day. I might even have that little thing. I don't know if I can find it or not. It's worth sharing. I keep the little notes because it means so much to me. From Jessica. On Pastor's Appreciation Day, 2018. "Thank you for always giving me guidance in life, showing me what it means to walk with the Lord daily, and for helping me understand why God made daddies first. We love you and appreciate you. Wish we were there to celebrate with you." When I get something like that from one of my children, I cannot tell you the impact that it has upon me and what it means to my life, because I love my children. And every one of you young people that are sitting here, your parents love you. If you have parents that have done wrong, there's still a love there. I promise you that. There's a love there. And if you've had ungodly parents, maybe you've got a godly person in the family. If you don't, there's somebody here at this church that's godly. And I promise you that if you will come here, we've got people here that will love you. Put up our vision statement, Brother Blue. This is what this church is all about. Westmoreland, a loving, say it with me, a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. That's what we're about. We're about helping people find the way through the maze of life. We all have had our struggles, but Jesus, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Your parents, they want to help you. They want to do the best for you. I know they do. Your parents want to be your friends. Believe that. You may not think that, but when they give you advice, they're giving you advice because they love you. They want the best for you. Of course, our best friend is Jesus. Nate, y'all might come on and set up for that final song if you want to. Y'all got a song you want to do? Our best friend is Jesus. Think about this. We live in a broken society, a society of broken people, broken homes, broken lives, broken dreams. But God is the God of the first chance, the second chance, the fat chance, the slim chance, no chance. God will loves you, and God will give you a chance. We love you here at Westmoreland. We will give you a chance. You know, Jesus can put your life back together even when you have really failed. And if you will only turn to Jesus and trust in Jesus, he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wound. As the old song, the songs are down in me. It says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend as kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. And then when I was growing up, they sang this song. What a friend we have in Jesus. Sing it with me. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amnon had a friend, and his friend influenced him in a negative way. And Amnon followed the advice of that friend. He died at a young age. His brother Absalom also died. The whole family had reproach. The young girl Tamar, she never had the marriage. She never had the home she could have. Everybody in that entire family was affected by the decision that Amnon made. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future.
If anyone wants to come to the altar at this time and spend some time in here, you're welcome to. It's open.
I was hopeless. I knew I was lost. Death and darkness were my only songs.
The altars are open. There's anyone here you don't know Jesus? While they're singing this song, you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. Let's all come and pray. There's a sobering spirit here in the church. Search out your own heart.
Give me a real love. I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. And now I am living like I'm forgiven. You came to set me free. And that's what your mercy did for me. You gave me beauty for my guilty stains. And now I'm living.
Love you, Lord.
By his grace.
Glory to God. You drifted away from the Lord and you want to come back, just come and ask somebody here to pray with you. You just ask me over, I'll come and pray with you. You just want to talk to the Lord in your own way. Say, Lord, help me to make right decisions.
You caught me from the grave. You give me your real love. I thank you, Jesus. You wash my sins away. Now I am living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. And that's what your mercy did.